and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today, I have a fabulous guest who's short. He'll tell you where to find it because even I don't. He sent it to me. David Michael Maurer, short Mondo's Carousel. It's available Mendo's somewhere. Mendo's Carousel. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm trying here.
I'm good. Nice to be here. Thank you.
So I think as a good starting off point is, why this story? I mean, did somebody tell you this story, or is it original creation? I mean, it's very food for thought after watching it.
Yeah, well, you know, originally, like a lot of filmmakers, I was like, I wanted to make something. I didn't know what I was going to make. I started on a blank page. I knew some actors that I wanted to work together with on something, but I didn't really know what it would be. And I tried to be open. And I just started writing, and a lot of it was terrible in the beginning. And then, sadly, in a very short period of time, my grandmother passed away. A year and a little bit after that, my grandfather passed away. And then right before we filmed, my uncle passed away.
Awful. And
yeah, it was a tough period of time for our whole family. And, you know, one of the things that came out of that was I found myself swimming in grief, you know. And I thought, you know, everybody goes through this at some point. We all deal with this. And it's, when you're in that state, it's really tough to deal with like getting honest, you know, and like being in acceptance. And there's so many emotions that come with it. I thought maybe there's something in here that people can relate to. And then the other thing that influenced it was, you know, I recently passed the 7-year mark in terms of quitting alcohol. And and in the beginning, that was a really tough thing to go and do, you know. And through the process of getting sober, I found myself getting honest with myself and then trying to look at places like where I fell short, take accountability for mistakes I made, and like try to make things right with other people and get honest with them. And that I found to be very powerful. And so those two things combined became the soup of a movie about honesty in the face of grief. That's where that all stemmed from.
Oh my God. That's like a heavy right off the gig.
It's a hilarious.
Where do I go from there? No, I do have questions. You did mention early on, you had actors you want to work with. So where do you know these people from?
Yeah. So I worked with, Eddie Gathegi and Omar Marrero on a TV show. They're still on strike. So I'm conscious of promoting stuff, but we worked together on this TV show for a streamer years ago, and it was one of these things where we filmed in Puerto Rico, and I did 2 seasons of it, and so you're there for long periods of time. I was an editor on the show, and they were acting in it, and so we were in Puerto Rico for months, and then I got to kind of know them because it's sort of like summer camp. You're hanging out together and doing stuff on the weekends, and it was a kick. And through editing them, I got to know their professional work ethic and the way they operate. And they're so talented. And I thought if I ever get a chance to work with them, I would love to. So I knew them personally from that experience. And then Todd Grinnell, who plays the customer in the film, he's done a lot of stuff. We've never worked together, but we've known each other socially over the years. And, so, you know, I rang him and I said, "Hey man, it's like a quarter page of dialogue. It's like way, you know, this is a short film." And he read the script and he's like, "Listen, I am in, you know, whatever you need, I'm going to be there for you, buddy." And all three of them just completely showed up. You know, none of them need to be doing short films at this point in their career. That, you know, and they just were there, present. Every take was a tough choice in the edit. It was awesome, you know. So very grateful.
Okay, I want to harp on something. You said you were an editor. So you're the director, writer, and editor. How many takes are you doing? I mean, I would think you would do very little because you know exactly what you want being an editor. You can see that ahead of time. Or is it that much different being a director?
This is a great debate that I always get into with my director friends about, you know, whether you do as little coverage as possible or if you cover the heck out of it. I have been on so many projects where I found myself retuning story, compression, all these things through editorial that I like a lot of coverage. And I like takes and I like lots of options. So we shot like 80 setups almost like in.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we shot with one camera and the actors just like were in. The thing that helped us go quickly was, you know, we shot on the Arri LF. So we had that nice big chip in the camera, but it allowed us to use zoom lenses instead of primes. And so we got this like great cinematic look to the whole thing, but we weren't stopping down to like swap lenses. And so the actors could stay in the moment and I'd be like, hey, let's go in for a close up. And they would just like punch in and kind of adjust the perspective slightly. And our DP Gavorg, is amazing. He also worked in Puerto Rico, as did our composer, Tristan Lepe, who all of us were a part of that project originally. So it was kind of like a little homecoming in that regard too, you know, get the band back together.
Okay. During the script, I find you introduce me to a history. You do discuss the history. You definitely present it, but you never show it. Uh-huh. So was there a version of this that was a little bit longer that I missed? Was it edited out or was it never shot?
A little of both. There was like an early draft of the script where we got to know Mendo a beat and we got a little piece of like the history of them. And that got cut out in the process because now you're introducing like, I mean, there's also budget limitations on a short film.
Yes, of course.
And so it's like, oh, I don't want to hire like the five extra actors that are on the page right now for this little sequence. But also like we did shoot like plates for what would be a VFX shot of it of a like a ribbon cutting day photo of Mendo and Arthur and. In the process of cutting the movie, like there was a point in the offline edit where we had that shot kind of temp composited in and people bumped on it because they prefer, like we were told that, you know, like when people would look at it, they'd say like, oh no, I prefer to like imagine this guy. And now that it's all put together, I like the idea that we never meet Mendo, that he's this ghost that's kind of haunting them. And sort of, you know, present in their lives in a way that's like hindering them from moving on, you know. But yeah, you never see them.
No, we don't. I want to go back to the beginning of the short for something you said yourself with your battle.
Sure.
Did that help you write the beginning scene for this short?
Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly I've, The film opens with her being super tipsy and, you know, I never burglarized anything, but I have certainly,
Well, I think you know how to present yourself is what I'm saying.
but I certainly have, felt, the intoxication and I felt the loss. You know, the notion that it's like, it's very, in terms of editing and the cinematography and everything, we wanted things to be like disjointed and kind of like a little shaky and like very much in her head, in her point of view of this intoxicated mess as she's going through and trying to break into the dry cleaning shop. So that was definitely something that I wanted the feeling of put in. And then you know, I would say like the ideas of like generational challenges with addiction is something I wanted in the script. And that sort of comes through a little bit at times because, you know, a lot of times people can look back at their history and say, oh, you know, great grandma so-and-so had an issue with such and such, or it's in our DNA a little bit, you know? And addiction has takes many forms. It's not, I'm not trying to make it an addiction movie, but
no, I don't think it is at all. I just brought it up because of what you said earlier. So that's why.
Yeah. But that's in the DNA of the film a little bit. It's like,
yes, I'd agree.
Yeah.
Sorry, people. I just want him to know that I think the film's more about redemption than anything else.
Good stuff. Yeah, we say honesty because I don't want to spoil it, but it's also, yeah, it's definitely.
I think I can say redemption. I think I've not ruined anything.
Fair. Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. I've left that very blank.
Good.
Which I don't want to discuss anymore, so I'm going to move on.
Thank you.
Did you add sounds to this, like? You know what I'm talking about, the scene? It sounded like sounds were added.
100%. We had a sound design team. In fact, all of our post-production, we shot in Burbank, and post-production was done by this incredible team in Puerto Rico called Reactor, and they do big movies and TV shows all day long. And so we had these terrific sound designers, dialogue editors. They did everything. There's actually like visual effects all over this film that are completely invisible, that are little cosmetic adjustments and, you know, stuff for legal to like make sure phone numbers can't be identified properly, that sort of thing. And they went in and the whole team just like, I feel very grateful because they are very busy all the time and they made time for us, you know? And, there's tons of sound design kind of moving through. And in 5.1, it's actually kind of a fun experience if you ever get to see it off of DCP in a movie theater.
Okay. Color corrections. I have noticed there were many in this film.
Yeah. There's color grading all over. Yeah. It's the nice thing is we are in one location and the chip is consistent when you shoot with one camera and we have one DP doing the magic on that. But Reactor went in and, you know, gave it a look. There is like nighttime, daytime, and the movie, we did try to warm it up as it starts very cold and kind of as it evolves.
100% it's cold. So, the item that is approached by the lead actor at the beginning, I almost said it what it was, but I don't want to say it. Is it borrowed or purchased?
It is left by her father.
Yeah, I realize that. I bet you personally, was it at the location or did you add it to the location?
The item that he points out?
I really don't want to say the words. It involves the turning of something. I'll leave it at that.
Ah, the actual dry cleaning equipment kind of stuff?
No, I'm going to get to the dry cleaner. Oh, you really don't want me to say this. The woman is going in at the beginning of the film. She knows what she needs to get to. She gets there.
Yes.
That item is what I want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does that make more sense?
That was purchased.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. Yeah,
sorry, people. I don't want to ruin this movie, so I'm trying very hard to dance around it.
I appreciate it. You're protecting us.
I think it's important.
And the audience, yes.
Okay. The dry cleaners, how did you get that? Was that a friend of yours? Did you rent it out?
Yeah, we rented it. Actually finding the location for a dry cleaner is very difficult. And also not just like finding a dry cleaner, because there's dry cleaners all over. But finding the right dry cleaner that could accommodate the story, because there are different spaces in the script, we scouted for a long time. We found like a very small one. It was like a 900 square feet little one at one point, and they were open to us filming, but it was too small. It's not conducive to production. We found a bunch of other places. They weren't going to work. A friend of mine is a location scout, so he's always out and about, and he was like texting, I call these people, and we were just trying. And it was down to the wire. We weren't really finding a place that would fit. We even looked at standing sets where like maybe we could, maybe they were just like, maybe there wasn't a conveyor system. Maybe it was just like clothes on hangers or and then there are also dry cleaners that unfortunately went out of business during the pandemic when we were all shut down because people weren't going out as much and getting their clothes fixed. And so there's a lot of those buildings around where it's like they have the equipment, but they're just like an empty shell of a building. We were like, could we film here? And a lot of those folks are like, look, we're working with a buyer. We don't want people coming into our space and maybe messing up a real estate deal. So it's like, okay, got it. And so luckily, I found this place and reached out and drove over. It's one of those places you drive by all the time if you live in that area. And it was perfect. It's got a double decker. It's two conveyors, so it's very large. They're film friendly. They were really kind to us. They got it. They understood our limitations, and they were willing to work with us. And they filmed other commercials and things filmed there as well. But and you know, the thing about dry cleaning things in like TV shows and stuff is like no one builds that. There's not like you can't go rent the conveyor. You can't, because it's way, way too expensive. So a lot of times they just like go buy out a dry cleaner for a couple of days and do their scenes and move on. So the fact that we found this place was lucky. And the cool thing is dry cleaners close, you know, they're shut down usually on Sundays and they close like early on Saturday. So we were like, well, can we work around your hours? And they were just so cool. They were just like really supportive and took care of us and answered questions. We were like, what would you, you know, how would the day look here? What piece of equipment might you turn on? How would you set up your opening of the shop and those kinds of things. So they're really nice. Okay, that's the long answer.
Yes. Well, there you go. I have one last question about the film and then we'll get into fun questions.
Cool.
Okay. Your lead actress cries a lot.
Yeah.
How many takes did you make her cry for?
I think, you know, I mean, I'm very protective about that because you don't want to exhaust anyone, and it takes so much to do that. The good thing about OT is like I've worked with her. I know what she's capable of. She has this like incredible deep well of emotion that she can totally tap into on a dime. And her craft is so good. And it's really like a magic thing to watch. Cause you can be like, can we do tears on this one? She's like, got it. And it's just like, she could be like texting and doing stuff, puts down the phone, hits her mark. Tears come at the exact time that they're supposed to. It's like, amazing. So we didn't do a lot of them. I think we did like two in that very close up shot that we do kind of in the middle of the film.
That's what I'm talking about.
She was willing to do like another take after that. That was like, not all cries. It's like, hey, would you do one that's just like, you don't have to cry on this one. It's cool. She's great at that. It's like she's insanely talented, and I am always mesmerized watching her work on, you know, on any scene that's that heavy, you know, because it's just amazing.
Okay, it's time for fun questions. I think I've Excellent. Hit every point on your film. If I miss something, please tell me, but I can't think of anything on my notes. I didn't touch on music because you do have music, but it's very quiet, so I couldn't really pull anything out. So I apologize to the composer. Good work. Your favorite film?
Favorite film of all time is Willy Wonka, the Chocolate Factory, the Gene Wilder version.
Oh, I don't think you would name the Johnny Depp version. I mean, it's a nice film, but it's not the other one. One film you always recommend to people, but they haven't really heard of it.
I'm a big fan of Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, that didn't get – I know the film.
Yeah. It's I love the direction in that film, and the performances are – the whole thing is so intimate. And, you know, when we were talking about the short, that was one of the ones that we referenced a lot to be like, this is the type of, like, hug I want the film to feel like. You know, it's, like, very emotional.
And your last question is really easy. One person you will work with one day.
Will work with? Is this like an imaginary, like someone I'd never worked with that I'd like to, or
yes,
one person?
Correct.
Oh, interesting. That is
in the industry, so you have contacts. This is possible.
I know. I feel like so working with Eddie and OT and Todd, I feel really great about. That's a tough one. This is an odd one, but. No, actually, you know who I'll say? Since we were talking about Perks of Being a Wallflower is Emma Watson.
There you go. Emma Watson. Yeah. There's a tough one to get. She doesn't work a lot.
She doesn't, and she's brilliant in everything.
She's excellent.
She does. And she's very, very selective about the role she takes. So I respect that. She'd be amazing to work with.
Okay. Well, now we got to ask the question I asked at the beginning. Where can people find this? I think it's probably only on the circuit, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we're doing the rounds. It's going to Philly for First Glance Philadelphia a couple weeks. And then I think it's going to the Utah Film Market and Twin Cities Film Festival. And we just found out we're going to East Lansing. In November sometime. But all this you can find at mendoscarousel.com. And then and you can find us on like all the social medias at Mendo's Carousel. So we're, you know, as things progress and things get updated, we post everywhere. So we just got back from Catalina. That was pretty amazing. Highly recommend.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel. And you can also support the show by going to PayPal. Thank you.